What's up, everybody? This is BJ Murphy. You're listening to the 20 Minute Morning Show. 2 years ago, this coming weekend, four people were killed on Bates Ford Road in Charlotte as hundreds of people gathered for a Juneteenth event. The victims were Christopher C.J. Gleaton, 28, Darion Stevenson, 31, Kelly Miller, 29, and 39-year-old Jamal Cassell. I got a chance to speak with the father of Jamal Cassell, Mr. Charles Billings, and some of the questions that were brought up. How could it be that there is so much evidence, video surveillance, eyewitnesses, but no one has been charged after 2 years? Is there something more going on? Is there a cover up by the police? Who told them to stand down? Who told the CMPD officers to stand down and permit this chaotic event to unfold right in front of them? Why are they not communicating with the families? Why is the city of Charlotte silent when it comes to communicating with the family? So it was a chaotic event that night. You just knew that it wasn't going to end well. Mr. Billings, what do you think about that night?
Matter of fact, a friend of mine called me and asked me, said, Charles, did you hear about what happened on Bates Ford Road? I was like, nah. And I was on my way home. I said, you know, I'm going to shoot past there and just see what's going on, you know. But good Lord took me straight home. Hey, went in the house, talked to my wife. Matter of fact, I sat down in a recliner. We was just talking about how we did so well by raising our kids.
Oh, wow.
I tell you, it wasn't maybe 15 minutes later, I got a phone call from the hospital saying my son was in surgery. And she said he went in twice. Mm-hmm. She said, no hurry. First, she explained he had a tattooed on his neck saying his mom. And she asked us all that. And by that time, my eyes got, you know, big. And I'm sitting like, you know, what's going on? So put me on the speakerphone so I can hear. And then she told us, she says, he went into surgery twice. Second time, she didn't say anything. She says, he's in the hospital. Take your time. Come on over. So during that time, we got in the car, you know, and I kept thinking, she says, take your time. And I'm saying like, oh, he's going to be all right, honey. He's going to be all right. And when she said, take your time, mm-hmm. I knew then that my son had passed. Mm-hmm. And we got there, and you'd be hoping for the best.
Yes, sir.
She told us he had passed. That's when she told us he had went into surgery twice.
Wow.
And the second time, he didn't come out.
So can you tell us what kind of wound he got? How he died?
From my understanding, he got shot in his stomach. Mm-hmm. And it came out his back. But to the day, last time I saw my son was on Father's Day. Mm-hmm. And wow. He had cooked scallops.
He was a good cook?
Oh, yeah. He knew I never had scallops.
Yes, sir.
And he always told me, I'm going to cook you some. And he was a truck driver. Okay. Came home for Father's Day and said, you know, I had told my wife and everybody, I just want to have Father's Day. The only Father's Day I want was to have Father's Day with my immediate family.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my grandkids, my wife, my daughter, and him. And we was all at one of my granddaughter's house. They cooked. Me and him sat down, and we talked. I can remember the day that everybody was on the floor and they was playing Uno.
Yeah, yeah.
Just laughing and having a good time. Matter of fact, my granddaughter had just moved into her condo.
Okay.
We already got ready to go and everything. And he says, well, Dad, you go ahead and take the kids to the house. Because two of his kids live with me and their grandmother.
Okay.
Because he was on the road all the time.
Yeah.
And he was divorced. Hmm. So he had custody of his youngest kids.
How old was he?
39 at the time.
Okay.
Took the kids home, and you know me, where you going? Well, he had a dog, big dog.
Yeah.
And his cousin, name is Sean McCray, that stayed on Bates Ford Road. He said, I'm going to get the dog some food for, you know, a month or two because I'll be on the road. You know, I'll be back, and I'm going to take the kids to the zoo tomorrow because I'm leaving Monday. You know, went on to work, like, didn't realize he had, you know, didn't come home. Mm-hmm. You know, I got that phone call from a friend of mine and asked me about it on Beta Foot Road. And I, like I said again, I was going to go by, but the good Lord took me home.
Yes.
And it was crazy. I sat down in the chair. It was like he sat down for a minute. Mm-hmm. I got something to tell you.
Right.
And like I said again, I was
talking to your wife about how whatever. Good you raised your children.
Yeah. And bam, hit me just like that.
Isn't that something? I mean, that's something that a parent could never imagine, getting a phone call like that. I mean, you're getting ready to have this wonderful weekend. I heard you say on the interview, you said, you know, people think that it couldn't happen to you.
Most people, that if it don't involve your family, don't get involved in
right,
it.
Right,
right. I used to think like that.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I was saying like, wow, I can't imagine how that parent feel. What are they going to do to get justice for their child? Because me, myself, see, I love my family.
That's right.
You know, I'd do anything for my family.
Yes, sir.
You know, you're supposed to, as a father, you're supposed to be a protector and a provider. If you don't get involved in this, whether you lost a child or you didn't lose a child, because any day it could happen to you. Any day.
Yes, sir.
And the way it is now, could even happen to you.
What do you think about the city of Charlotte right now as we speak? I mean, the city's like spinning out of control with violence.
We got all the our people mm-hmm. in place, we think. Mm-hmm. Chief, black, mayor, black. It goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, it's been almost 2 years. I can't get an answer from them.
So you've called and
I used to go down.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to skip back a little bit.
Okay.
When I left the hospital, I took my wife and my daughter home. I say, I got to get you home. So I got them home. I knew they were safe. Mm-hmm. I went back on Beta Foot Road. And I talked to one of the officers. He told me where to go. So I went downtown. I was asking them, you know, telling them who I was, who my son and everything. They didn't even know my son had passed.
Wow.
Until the day, they'd never been to my house. The last time I went, I went in to get his car keys because it wasn't in the crime scene. So this nice officer, Mr. Johnson, said, told my wife, son-in-law, they could get the keys and take the car home. So when I went down to ask them for it, and you would not believe what answer I got from one of the ladies. She said, what are your son is in here for?
Wow.
So I had to catch myself, go outside, cry a little bit, mm-hmm. went back in, trying to hold my composure. At the time, another lady came up and told her his son has been deceased. And it was like, oh, I'm sorry. Why would you say something like that?
Yeah, insensitive, yeah.
Well, you judge me. Mm-hmm. And she was black. Mm-hmm. She judged me because she thought everybody comes down there is bad. And that was my first time really, really dealing with somebody speaking to me like that.
Tell us, what kind of son was Jamar?
He's a good father, good husband, great son. Mm. You know, I mean, I tell people this story. Me and him went to the grocery store one time, and me and him was talking, waiting in line. This lady was in front of us with some kids. You know, she didn't have enough money to pay for all the groceries.
Right.
So she started putting stuff back. You know, tell the cashier, put stuff back. So my son said, wait a minute, Dad, hold on for a second. Told the cashier, put it all back.
Yeah.
I'll pay for it.
Right, right.
And he paid for it all.
Wow.
But anybody know my son, You know, I'm not just saying that because that's my son.
Right.
Anybody knows Jamal will tell you what kind of person he is.
Yes, sir. He's just like you.
Yeah, he's just like me to a certain degree.
I could tell y'all had a good relationship because, you know, y'all were friends.
I was his friend, but yeah. Most of all, I was his father.
Yes, sir. A father friend. You know, like y'all got along so good.
Yeah.
You talk about anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about anything. And if he know he was wrong,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have to say much to him.
That's right.
Matter of fact, I wouldn't say nothing to him if he was wrong. He would come back to me and apologize to me.
Wow.
You know, because you wasn't raised like that. You know right from wrong.
How is your wife dealing with this?
My wife is still sort of kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. She just, you know, when I see her and I know I can feel the friction in her and the hurt in her, I give her a space. Because if you see somebody crying that you love, you know, something goes through you where I don't care how strong you are. You're going to cry. So I try to stay strong for her.
Yeah.
And when she see me crying, you know, as a wife, she always come and hug me and say, it's going to be okay.
Yes, sir.
You know, and you know how it just hits you.
You know, one of the things when we have these type of events that affect the Black community, we don't hear like the story.
Right.
Behind the story, like what you're telling me is like touching me. And what I always felt was that the parents of our children that have been slain in the way from gun violence, that they should be able to tell Charlotte how they're feeling and how we should change the city, the whole energy and atmosphere of the city.
I don't want another parent to go through what we are going through. Not only the death of my son, but dealing with the city of Charlotte.
It's deep.
It's deep.
Yeah.
Real deep. And I'm just going to go straight to the point.
Yes, please.
A couple of days ago, maybe last week, I had a parking issue in my development. And you know how you hear stuff on the streets talking about the police was watching. The event over there.
Right.
This officer came to my house, matter of fact, and three of them came. And we got to talking about the parking issue first, you know, and then we got to talking, I explained it to him. He kind of knew who I was. He kept staring at me. And I told him, I says, yeah, my name is Charles Billings, which you probably got on your call. And we started talking and stuff. And I say, why wasn't y'all there? You know, you know, heard so many lies and so many stories about they was watching, you know, didn't do anything to disperse the crowd or anything. So he told me, Mr. Billings, he said, I'm going to tell you like this. He said, we was told to stand down.
Wow.
He said, Mr. Billings, we called for backup two or three times. And we were still told, stand down. And I say, he said, we saw donuts in the street. We saw it all. And the public saw the police standing there. But he was following orders.
So this is like something, information that really has not been expounded on.
It's been out there.
It's been out there, but nobody's.
But like, again, you always hear stuff on the street. You're about, oh, this done, somebody done this. You know how we are. We'll spread lies. This is not a lie.
Right.
This came from the police officer at my front door, told me two or three times. My superior told me to stand down. And he says, if you don't believe me, they got records.
Wow.
Of the calls that we made for us to not to interact.
Okay, so now this brings us to another level of this, because CMPD could be held liable and responsible for allowing the chaos to occur. But this hadn't come out.
No.
Yet. Well, but people, like you said, people know about it, but we haven't made this a talking point.
Right. And that was when I got the phone call, the text message from you. It was the next day that you got up with me.
Yes, sir.
And I was like, wow, ain't this good? Mm. God works in Come mysterious on way.
That's right. You know? So what do you want? What message do you want out there right now? What's your platform that you want to really get out there?
I want to let the people know that on any job, there are good people, there are bad people. This guy, I don't know his name, but the next day I tried to call and get his name, and they told me how to get up with his.
This is an officer, right?
This is the officer. Okay. I tried to get his name and everything, and I called, and guess what? He's on vacation. The very next day. To the day. So I'm figuring like, well, maybe he'll call one day this week. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
But what the information that he gave me, it takes somebody that knows the law better than me to get that call that they got that night from his superior saying, stand down.
So who was the superior that told him to stand down? Do we know who that is?
All he gave me was, I give him the message. And the sad part about it is, I was actually going down like maybe twice a month. So it got to the point where I could leave there. I would have to go home, go in my room, turn the lights off, and actually talk to my son. If you love your child, it would make you strong, weak, cry, and you will hurt.
Yeah.
You will get this hurt that you never felt before in your life. And if you walk in any parent's shoes that lost a child, you will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
And then you turn around with the city of Charlotte. Oh, about 3-4 months ago, me at work again, I got a phone call saying that they went over and cleaned up all the memorials over there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Saw that. I left work. I was headed down there to find out because we didn't know who did it, which it was on the news saying if we put more over there, they would clean them up. 6 o'clock news came on and said, you could put them there. They wouldn't touch them, and blah, blah, this, and blah, blah, this, and they apologized. Next couple of days, I got a phone call saying that we're going to put up a memorial that nobody can touch, which they already showed me what they're going to do, and I'll put up a tree that blooms every year. Did all that. Okay? But before we had that conversation, the manager of that department, and his words was, you know, and I was mad about it, and he apologized. You know, and he was really, really upset about it. And I told him, I says, y'all fucked up. You got all these memorials around Charlotte. Why would you touch
that? Yeah. Right.
We got a 9-3-1-1 call to clean it up. Well, hell, everything on Betaford Road over there. The city don't go over there and clean up.
Right. Right.
Why would you touch that?
Right.
Again, he said, well, we fucked up. And then you know what he said? He says, the only reason you are getting that plaque and that tree is because we fucked up.
Wow.
2 weeks later, he called me back and tried to apologize by putting it on somebody else by using that language to me and said, no, it wasn't because we messed up. We are doing it for the four victims over there. I don't condone saying that, whoever said that. Well, hell, it was you.
Yeah.
See, none of us is perfect. None of my kids, me, you, nobody else in this world is perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. But it takes a Christian, a good-hearted person to own up to your mistakes.
Right. You know, what I'm finding out about this city is that there's a lot of wickedness that people don't believe is going on.
Oh, it is. But like I said again, You look at most cities, I say 80% of the cities, black mayors, black politicians.
Yeah.
All over. Who would think, bam, you would get in there and fight for it?
Come on, teach.
You know, you see, fight for us.
This is what I be saying. We got black mayor, black police chief, black sheriff, black county manager.
Like transportation.
Transportation. We had a black person as a superintendent.
Superintendent.
I mean, you know, majority black city council. Yeah. Black people leading on the county commission, you know.
Right.
And my thing is, why are black people suffering in a city that's named after a black queen, Queen Charlotte?
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, they're in that position, but how much power they got?
None.
Bottom line.
Because the white folks control Charlotte.
White folks control Charlotte.
It is window dressing.
That's all it is. Yeah. Putting a band-aid on it. Mm-hmm. In the same way I feel about this monument in the tree.
Yeah.
It's a band-aid.
Right.
But we talk about the four victims. Now, the other day I found out one of the kids over there is paralyzed. Mm-hmm. But look how many other people got shot. Yeah. Now, tell me this. Isn't that a massacre? We're going to play low-key like Charlotte is safe. Four people got killed in Charlotte. Hear nothing. Not even counting the ones that was wounded and shot out there.
Mm-hmm. We haven't heard about them.
Hadn't heard about them.
Yeah. So you're saying after 2 years that we know that the four young people that were gunned down, we know about them, but we don't know about the other people
victims.
that were hurt. And you said you're just finding out about it.
I'm just finding out. So I'm out there preaching, you know, trying to keep awareness of the four victims. But there's more people out there that got hurt.
So how did WBTV get in contact with you? How did that come about, that interview?
Mario.
Okay.
And it was good. Charlotte Observer came out of my house about a week ago, too.
Okay.
Put it in a paper article. Channel 9, we did an interview with them last Wednesday. But it's like a brick wall. Mm-hmm. The news people even told me, said, we've been down there. Mr. Billings, we've been down there talking to them. We don't get no answer. We get, yeah, okay, you know, yeah. And he asked them, says, why hadn't you reached out to the families? And for months, I didn't see the interview on TV. But his thing was, yeah, no, we hadn't really reached out to them. So my thing, found a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You got videos. Mm-hmm. He was getting out of the car, shooting the gun.
Right.
You know, you got people spinning around donuts. And this was observed by the Charlotte Police Department.
Right.
And I asked him, ain't that against the law? 3 days. Who gave you permission to do this for 3 days? Mm. Not only that, if you go back to the mayor, when it was time to get the votes in, two basketball players and her was in the same area passing out hot plates. Mm. But did you hear the mayor say anything about what happened on Bedford Road to today?
Have you spoken with her?
I have spoken to her. Matter of fact, they had a meeting up there by McDonald's on Bedford Road. It's an empty lot there. They had a great big meeting there about revamping the neighborhood. None of the neighbors was invited.
It was just political officials and developers or whoever.
One of the officers, I was doing an interview down there with Channel 9, and he told me about it. He said, Charles, you know, they're having this great big meeting up there at 2 o'clock. You got to be invited. I don't live on that side of town, but can't nobody tell me where to go and where I can't go.
Right, right.
So I went home, went back. Like I say, God works in mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
As I pull up, she pull up.
Mm.
I walked on in with her at the meeting. She actually told me, said, we're not going to forget you, Mr. Billings. almost 2 years.
What did that mean, you know, when she said that?
You never got an answer. I got to respond.
So, Mr. Billings, is it possible with the surveillance video, you mean to tell me that it's not possible to identify anybody on that video that was shooting those weapons? I don't believe it.
Well, when you're in the wrong, when you're in the wrong,
okay,
you're going to cover your ass, aren't you?
Right.
Are you going to give you out that kind of information? You know, you got to cover up.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you got, like you said, cameras, gun, people shooting guns, people's doing donuts, police standing around.
Yeah.
And the public don't know what their superiors don't told them what to do and what not to do. Okay, if it's a brick wall here, we're not getting anywhere. Don't it go to another level?
Absolutely.
Well, oh, it's been 2 years. Okay, when are we going to get that other level? If you can't solve it, you know, I'm not saying you're not doing your job or you don't know what you're doing, but maybe you need help. If you don't ask for it, you ain't going to get it.
So is the FBI involved?
Don't know. If I can get somebody to come in and fix it, and I'm in the wrong, I don't want them. I'm going to keep this away. Because in black people, we tends to let it go over our head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, they ain't going to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do anything if you don't get off your ass and do something for yourself.
Right.
We got to help each other.
That's right. So how are you feeling about the public not really coming forward? Because somebody know who it is, and nobody's saying anything. But yet everybody's going to have a Juneteenth celebration talking about we love black people.
I say again, if we don't help, start helping ourselves, we're not going to get anywhere.
Right.
We don't trust the police.
Right. And rightly so.
Rightly so. Mm-hmm. But not taking up for the police officer. Maybe it's a few more good ones in there, mm-hmm. like the guy that I met, and he can't do anything.
Yeah. It looks like this may be a cover-up of immense proportions because there's just no way this high-profile shooting with surveillance video, with hundreds of witnesses, that they don't have any body that they can make an arrest. That's unusual.
Well, again, when you mess up, you got to cover up. You're fighting against power, mm-hmm. people's in higher authority than you, mm-hmm. and money.
Have you talked to Police Chief Jennings?
I have met him. I've shook his hand, and I got a smile. And we put our people in place to help us.
What about some of the city council people? Have they reached out to you?
Not a one.
How many times have you and the other family members gotten together?
Twice, maybe three times each interview.
So when y'all get together, what do y'all normally talk about, though?
Actually, we did do our interview, and then I have given my phone number. You know, everybody grieved different.
Yes, sir.
And it, at one point in time, I was like that. Me and my wife don't talk about it, period. So I can't justify, you know, how they grieving. And at one time, I didn't want nobody to call his name. I didn't want nobody to say anything. Because if you mess around and say the wrong thing about Jamar, I'm living.
That's right.
I might be a different animal when it comes to my family.
Yes, sir.
I can be nice, cordial. But when it comes to my family.
Yeah.
Hey.
I see that other side. Other side.
I always told my wife, I said, you know, whatever you do to me, I can handle it. Mm-hmm. But if you cross that line with my family, as that guy said, you don't effed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, the city of Charlotte have effed up with all those victims by saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And, you know, you wouldn't do this if you was in the wrong. The guy that moved the memorials, it took a man to say, we messed up. You used the wrong choice of words to me and why are they doing it.
Yeah.
But you own up to it. Now, let's fix it.
Yeah.
But the city of Charlotte, you got to fix this.
How could the city of Charlotte fix this?
Justice.
What does that look like?
2 years, you got cameras, you got people getting out of video with people getting out of their trucks, shooting in the air.
Clear video.
Clear video.
So it's clear video because they can enhance. Okay, we watch it on TV is one thing. They can enhance that thing.
Yep.
Study it.
Yep.
You know, the FBI and all the SBI and all these other CISI and all this stuff.
If they're involved in it.
Right.
You know, but they say if you don't act, you don't know. So, city of Charlotte, 2 years. Don't you think it's time to start asking for some help so we can make the people in the city of Charlotte, the black community, feel safe?
So if any people that were on the street that night, have they contacted you and said, Mr. Billings, this is what we saw. They won't talk to us. They won't take our information.
I heard one. Oh, God, I forgot his name. He said, I was right beside your son when he got shot. And he said, the city of Charlotte hadn't come to you and talked to you or nothing. And he said, I was trying to get the paramedic to come and help him. He said, and the paramedic was standing there and he was shocked at so many people there. The police was out there with their guns and everything, standing over the victims and stuff. And Mario Black told me he was standing over Kelly, and a police officer was standing over with a gun, and he looked at him and said, she can't do you no harm. Hmm. She need help. So my understanding that they wouldn't even let the paramedics through there.
Wow.
So when you start thinking, you're going like, well, are they involved in it?
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you ask yourself, you know, you got all this information. It's been 2 years. What are y'all covering up? So I know you got to do your job.
Yeah.
I know it takes time. And the families are asking for, just reach out and say, act like you care.
So it sounds like there's so much more to this story that has not been told deliberately.
Yeah, deliberate.
Deliberately, right?
Now, you got all the evidence and all this. You expect the truth to come out.
Yeah.
But if I'm holding something back, I'm not going to tell you everything. My mom always told me this. Never let the left hand know what the right hand doing.
So the question, that's a basic question that must be lifted up out of this conversation is, Police Chief Jennings and all your people in your hierarchy of command, who gave the command to stand down?
Yep.
Why did you allow something so illegal and horrendous and chaotic to take place on Batesford Road, and that you are responsible for those deaths because of your inaction?
Yep.
As a police department? That's where we at.
Yeah, that's where we at.
That's where we at.
That's where we at. Do you think this would have happened on the south side of town?
Absolutely not.
Valentine's, Miles Park. Do you really think that 3 days, who gave you permission for 3 days? And the biggest question to me is, ain't we in a pandemic?
Mm.
At that time?
Right.
Then the governor say, no big crowds.
That's right.
I might be lying. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. That's what was going on. That was like the height of everybody staying home. That shouldn't even happen.
That was COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think we should continue to have the conversations and give you a platform to get the message out.
Yeah. The Channel 9 guy, I mean, he actually said, Mr. Bennis, I've been down to the police department. Yeah. He says, I've been face to face with them. And you know what? They shut me down too. And he said, this has never happened. He says, this has never happened to a news station, a news reporter. They shut us completely down.
Yeah. I think we on the dark side of of the city of Charlotte.
Yeah.
And the powers that be do not want this to come out because, like you said, they effed up.
Yeah.
They effed up real bad.
Real bad.
Do you think the reward is enough that they're talking about $22,000 at this point?
No. But I come to find out, the bigger the reward, the more bonus they get.
What you mean?
They get a bonus if they make an arrest. But we pay them. See? See? Wow. And like I say again, not knocking the police, but they got a job.
Yeah.
They put their life on the line for us.
Absolutely.
So you got some people who want to do their job. But then when you come to your boss and tell you stand down, okay, if I'm standing down. So when somebody come at me, I got to go to you. It's on you now. So basically what I'm saying, this is on the city of Charlotte. And if you don't believe me, they got records of whoever called, his superior called and asked for backup. Didn't get it. But how do that look in the public eye?
Terrible.
Nobody has even came to my house or said anything to me. They hadn't even updated me on anything. Nothing.
In 2 years.
2 years.
Nobody's been to your house.
Nobody.
The 20-Minute Morning Show is a podcast production of BJ Murphy Media and UIN, Urban Internet News. The show is written and produced by BJ Murphy and executive producers Sabre Robinson and Alexandria Davis. From our studios in Charlotte, North Carolina, our contributors are Sean, Sunday, AK, and Brooklyn Alexander. Check out more episodes on our website at 20minuteshow.com.